I have some wonderful news for you this first day of the new year. Our God makes everything new.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, welcome, friends, to 2013. Can you believe it? Michael Brown wishing you a blessed and happy new year. This is our first broadcast of the new year here on The Line of Fire. So glad we could spend this time together. Maybe you're not a regular listener and you just tuned in because your schedule's changed. Well, welcome to your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And who knows what God will do in this new year. I'm not taking calls today, but you can pray for me because as you're listening to this broadcast, I should be 35,000 feet in the air in the midst of a 15-hour trip to Japan. Earlier this morning, my schedule took me from Charlotte to Atlanta, then Atlanta, about a 15-hour flight to Japan, and then a layover there for a couple of hours, and then something like a five-hour flight to Hong Kong, and I should arrive at Hong Kong, I don't know, like 2 in the morning or something like that, and head over to my hotel where then I'll be going during the week for a 7 or 8 day period and teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland Chinese pastors who were able to get into Hong Kong, and I'll be teaching the Book of Jeremiah. So traveling on the first day of the year for me, and glad we could spend this time together. Even, well, I'm here with you, but I'm somewhere else at the same time, the beauty of radio. I want to encourage you today to put your hope in God. I want to encourage you today that whatever might be going on in your life that is negative or troublesome, whatever situations may surround you that seem hopeless, whatever may be your life that is just dull and boring and routine, and kind of a spiritual rut or a rut that you've been in for years, I want to encourage you, whatever your situation is, and for those that are thriving and doing well and rejoicing, put your hope in God. The God that we serve is a God who makes all things new. I was just looking in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, where it's written that John in the Spirit sees this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Notice this operative word new. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. It will be final judgment. But for those that know the Lord, what an incredible word. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And then God says, behold, I make all things new. All right, here we are in a brand new year. As you listen to the broadcast today, I want to encourage you. I want, with God's help and through his word, to help instill fresh hope and vision in you and those that are visionary ready, that your vision and hope and faith would be expanded in this brand new year of let's see what our God will do. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, let me wish you a blessed and happy new year in the Lord. Michael Brown, thanks for joining me on this very first day of the year 2013. You know, all of us at one time or another in our lives need to start with a fresh, clean slate, need to start with kind of a new beginning, whether it's just a little thing in our lives or a larger thing. Probably every one of us, at one time or another in our lives, we just need to wipe the slate clean and start afresh. It may need to be with relationships with other people. It may need to be in our finances. It may need to be in a relocation or in starting new ministry or something. But at a certain point, you put the past behind and you make a new start. And I want to encourage you. I know it's just another day. Nothing's actually changed. Spiritually, nothing's any different. It's 2012 is no different than 2013 in terms of it's just another day. On the calendar, we wake up the same human beings, and yet there's a sense in which we can have deeper sense of resolution, deeper sense of commitment, deeper sense of looking at our lives, seeing where we stand, and making a determination, by God's grace, I must move forward. And the God that we serve is a God who makes all things new. It's his nature to do that. It's his nature to bring life out of death, to bring light out of darkness, to bring hope out of despair, to bring faith out of unbelief, to bring good out of evil, to turn things around. It's his nature to do it. And so we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem and a God who says, write this down. This is who I am. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am absolutely trustworthy. Write this down. I make all things new. I'm not taking any calls today. Drink this in. Drink in the scriptures we'll be sharing with you, the words of encouragement we'll be sharing with you. And if you think of it, do pray for grace on me as I travel and minister. I'm on my way to Hong Kong right now to minister to Chinese pastors, teaching them the book of Jeremiah. And later in this week, God willing, we'll be coming your way live from Hong Kong. And then the following week, all of the broadcasts will be coming to you from Hong Kong. And hopefully I'll be able to share some of my interaction. I can't say a whole lot because of, well, a number of reasons that should be obvious if we're talking about ministering to pastors from China. But I do hope to be able to share things with you that will encourage you and edify you. Hey, it's not every day you get to teach and train Chinese pastors. What would help? What would help us not to repeat some of the same problems, errors, mistakes that we've made in the past? What would help 2013 to truly be a new year and a year of change and a year where we see promises of God realized? Can I give you a few honest suggestions? Can I give you a few candid words of encouragement? They'll be straightforward. They're not going to be sugar-coated. But I believe if you'll take hold of these, it'll help you. I know it helps me when I do this. There's a coach on one of the football teams, one of the NFL teams, who has made the comment when asked about his roster and what about injuries and what about this and what about that. His policy is no excuses, no explanations. He's kind of tight-lipped, and we play the game, and we're going to go out and play the game. We win or we lose. Can I encourage you to have it kind of built into your system? No excuses. No blaming others for setbacks or failings in my own life. No expecting someone else to do for me, dependent on others to make a way for me. If I'm constantly making excuses, well, it was this one's fault or that one's fault, and I realize how easily prone to that I could be years back when I started reflecting on that, when I started looking in the mirror and thinking, no excuses, no excuses. If I don't get something done, if I don't finish a project, if I don't fulfill a commitment, if this doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, instead of explaining why this one let me down or this one didn't come through or I didn't understand it, or I realized, okay, that is a cop-out and I'm pointing the finger and trying to find a way out to vindicate me. And I thought, okay, no excuses. Now, I can't say I've been perfect on that ever since, but it's a tremendous help when you say, this is how I'm going to live. No excuses. It's one thing. It's one thing if you're on your way to deliver something. You know, you run to the store to do someone a favor. It's urgent. And as you're leaving the store, you get mugged, you know, when they steal your money and what you're getting. Okay, you have a legitimate issue. But I'm saying that for the most part, we want to take responsibility off of our own shoulders and somehow point the finger somewhere else to say, it's not my fault. I'm not to blame. This one, that one, they're to blame. We would make so much more spiritual progress if we decide, okay, no excuses. I find myself in this place at the end of 2012, the beginning of 2013. What are we going to do about it? Lord, by your grace, what are we going to do about this? I read comments. One time there was a professional boxer, broke his hand in a fight. Well, how in the world do you continue fighting with a broken hand? But they're boxers, they're tough, they've got to do it. And the guy sits down in his corner in the 1 minute break between rounds and says to his trainer, I broke my hand. And the trainer says, you want to quit? He goes, no, I'm just telling you this. Okay, well, then here's what we're going to do. In other words, okay, you're a broken hand, but you're a fighter, you're going to quit? No, all right, well, then here's what we're going to do. I know that some of us, it's a lifestyle. The church let me down. The pastor let me down. My husband let me down. My wife let me down. My kids let me down. My parents let me down. My friends let me down. My employer let me down. And it's everybody else's fault. I can guarantee you, you're never going to make spiritual progress with that kind of mindset. And the whole world is not against you. There's a sinful world against us. But I'm talking about everybody's not against you. The whole church is not against you. If you live with that complex, it's going to get worse and worse and darker and darker. There's no world conspiracy out against you. There is no church conspiracy out against you to take you down. Jesus, as I've often pointed out, embodied the compassion and mercy and kindness and long-suffering of God and reached out to the marginalized and the outsiders and the down-and-outers and extended incredible grace to fallen, sinful human beings. And yet, he tolerated no excuses. Read the Gospels. Look at how he dealt with excuses. Look at how with laser piercing truth, he cut through those excuses to get to the heart of the matter. If you will make a determination, friend, I'm not going to make excuses and blame others for where I find myself today. Instead, I'm going to believe in the God who works all things together for the good of those who love him. I'm going to look to the God who, in the midst of the darkness of the Book of Lamentations, the poet exclaims, his mercies are new every morning. What we need to do right now, wherever we find ourselves, if we're in a rut, if we're heavily in debt and just financial crisis, or spiritually we've hit a wall, is rather than have a bad, complaining, grumbling, negative attitude, to determine, all right, here we are, but God is for me. If you're a child of God, if your life belongs to him, if you want to please him and do his will, he's for you. If he's for you, who could be against you? You know, I can't believe God and make excuses at the same time. I can't believe God and complain and point fingers at the same time. I can't be in an attitude of faith, which is also an attitude of praise and thanksgiving and expectation, when all I'm doing is speaking negative, hopeless words. Sure, we're honest. Sure, we pour our hearts out one to another. And then we make a determination. Let's go forward. Friends, whatever you have to leave behind in 2012, I don't mean responsibilities. I mean disappointments. I mean letdowns. I mean failures. Whatever you have to leave behind for 2012, do it. Do it in Paul's words in a different context, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to that which is ahead, and determine, I am going to find out what God wants me to do, and I'm going to put my heart to it and my mind to it, and I'm going to believe that God can make everything new, and that a year from now I can look back to today and not even believe I was in the situation that I find myself in today. All right, I've got more words of encouragement and truth for you today on this first day of 2013. Right here on the Line of Fire. Stay tuned for more.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, by God's grace, seeking to serve you as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution as we start this new year, January 1st, 2013. If you're just tuning in, I wish you a blessed new year in the Lord. May it be a year where your desire for God grows deeper and deeper. May it be a year where your spiritual focus grows stronger and stronger. May it be a year where the grace of God floods your life in ways that are indescribable. May it be a year where you bear much lasting fruit for the Lord. May it be a year when you really become a threat to hell and a joy to the kingdom of heaven. Again, I'm not taking calls today as you're listening to this specially prepared broadcast for you. I should be on my way to Hong Kong and the second of three flights, this one being about a 15-hour flight. You know, I was coming back from India earlier in December, so about a month ago. I was coming back from India, and the last flight I had was from Detroit to Charlotte. And on that flight, there was online wireless internet. So you just pay a small fee and you could get online. So I was online answering emails, doing different things. And then I realized, wait a second. It's that time of the day. I can listen to the radio to a broadcast I had prepared a few days earlier in India. So that was really cool to listen to the Line of Fire at 35,000 feet in the air, listening to an interview that we had prepared in India. But right now, which means I will not be listening. Oh, I wouldn't be listening to me anyway. I want to be listening to you or to an interview. So can't take your calls, but do pray. And God willing, beginning on Thursday, be coming your way live from Hong Kong. A few principles to help us grow in grace in this new year. Look, I often get so excited about different things to do for the Lord, and I have such wide-ranging interests. Many of you are the same, and I want to read not one book at a time, sometimes not two or three, but 20 or 30 books at the same time because I'm interested in so many subjects. And then often I'm burdened to write and excited to write about a wide range of subjects. I mean, massively different from one to another to another, and I want to work on them all at the same time. And then when I went to college, I took six different languages during my time in college. I took Hebrew, Arabic, Latin, Greek, German, Yiddish. Of course, learned some of them well, some of them not well at all, and then went on to grad school and continued to build on that and different dialects of languages and other languages like Ugaritic and Akkadian, which is Babylonian, Assyrian, and obviously, because my main vocation is not teaching Semitic languages or being a Semitic language professor, even though some of the languages I still work with well, others I've gotten rusty in. And, you know, I'd like my New Testament Greek to be sharper and so on. And so many times I'll just, I've got to brush up on this, got to brush up on that. And the next thing I've got a Greek grammar out. I've got my Arabic of the Quran out, working on that, trying to polish up my Syriac, get that better. And boy, need more time in Akkadian. It's just everything at once. Like, wait, this is crazy. You can't do everything. You cannot do everything. There are not enough hours in the day to do all of this at the same time. And then you may be like that. You want to paint the house. You want to clean the house. You want to get in shape. You want to diet. You want to run the marathon. You want to lift weights. You want to clean the carpet. You want to wash the car. You want to teach the kids Latin. You want to get them out in athletics. You want to pray 18 hours. You want to read the word 6 hours. And then you come to the end of the year and you want to do all these different things to bring about change. Right here, 20 areas of my life that need change. Can I tell you, it's a very good chance, unless you are an incredibly disciplined, motivated, systematic person, there's a very good chance if you got a list of 20 things you want to change in 2013 that it ain't going to happen. It's just too more a unique kind of person. The last message I preached to our home congregation, Fire, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, on Sunday, December 30th, I just gave a short, simple word of exhortation based on Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to bring that same exhortation to you as we start a new year. Last segment, I just encourage you, our listeners, to not make excuses and instead to have an attitude that's going to work with God in faith and say, okay, here's where we find ourselves. Father, what are we going to do? How can we move forward? Well, here's another principle. When Paul talked about how he lived in Philippians 3 and how he counted everything loss, rubbish, that he could know Jesus and experience the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his sufferings and the heart to pursue God, forgetting what's behind, pressing on towards what's ahead, this his whole goal being, I want to take hold of me. Whatever the purposes are for which he took hold of me, I want to take hold of those. Well, in that chapter, he says these famous words, this one thing I do, this one thing I do. And I encouraged our congregation, encouraged Fire Church, find out from the Lord, what is the one thing you could do that's going to change everything else? What's the one thing? If there's one thing that you could do that if you did it on a daily basis, if you turned this around, would be kind of the linchpin that caused everything else to change, what would it be? We went out for lunch with some of our family, friends, and or really all extended family. And over lunch, some of them were saying, oh, I know immediately what my one thing is. One of the folks sitting there, a mother of four, the youngest is like two, the oldest 13. And she said, oh, I know the one thing. I know the one thing I have to do. I know clearly what I have to do. And it had to do with early morning prayer before the day got busy and everything. And everything turned with that. I was with someone a few months ago, and I said, okay, if you could change one thing in your life, the number one thing that you need to address, what would it be? And this person gave an answer. It just had to do with a physical issue in their lives. If they could change that, everything would change. I want to encourage you not to look for 30 or 40 or 50 different things. One thing, one thing. Pray about it. Think it through. If there was one thing I could give myself to, whether it's witnessing to the lost, whether it's being consistent in prayer, whether it's changing certain things in a relationship, whether it's being disciplined in diet, it may seem so simple. One thing that I've got to give myself to, and if I do this in obedience to God, everything else will change. Friend, go for it, and you won't be disappointed. And if you fall short, okay, pick yourself up with God's grace and help, and go forward and go for that one thing again. 2013 could look very different than 2012. Friends, we are giving our phone operators a break today, but if you want to stand with us, if you feel prompted to help this new year, to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, to give a one-time gift, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on support. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on support. You can stand with us on a monthly basis or with a one-time donation. Let's start the year with a fresh thrust forward in every area of our life. What's that one thing? Hang on to it. Do it in Jesus' name.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this is the first time some of us have talked in the new year. So a blessed 2013 to you, Michael Brown. Thank you for spending this time together with me on the Line of Fire broadcast. I can't take calls today. I'd love to. I love to multitask. I love to be in two places at the same time in that sense. However, can't do it today. As you're listening to this specially prepared broadcast for the new year, I am 35,000 feet in the air on my way to Japan en route to Hong Kong. And again, asking for your prayers as I'll be away for, 10 plus days, including travel time, and then planning to come your way live from Hong Kong, where I'll be teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland, teaching the book of Jeremiah. Our God, Revelation 21, makes all things new. I want to encourage you and exhort you and give you words that I hope will equip you so that you can live out the promises of God and the calling of God in a greater way in 2013. If 2012 is the greatest year you've ever known, hey, we serve a God who goes from glory to glory to glory in terms of how he reveals himself to us. And according to Proverbs 4, that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter until the full light of day. If 2012 has been the most wonderful year of your life, who knows what God could do in 2013? Rather than stopping there, let's build on it in Jesus' name, and let's believe God to build on it in this next year. And if 2012 was just stuck in a rut or the worst year ever, by all means, let's believe that out of darkness, out of hopelessness, out of that rut would come the manifestation of the goodness and glory of the Lord. When I was saved, probably about 2 years, I remember realizing or coming across something. Actually, it must have been a shorter period of time than this. I'm trying to place exactly where it happened, and if I found some early notes that I took down in my early days in the Lord, I'm sure I would find it. But I was just going through a struggle. I was going through one of those challenging times that we can all go through, and you know, new in the Lord, and sometimes more emotional ups and downs as a teenager. And I was reading through Lamentations, because I was just reading through the Bible and finish it and then start again. And the first couple of years I was saved, read through the King James Bible cover to cover 5 times and memorized about 4,000 verses. So I was just in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. And reading Lamentations, what a painful book, what a dark book, what a difficult book. In the middle of the 3rd chapter of Lamentations, there are these words: because of his mercy, we're not consumed. They're new every morning, or his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And that had been one of the songs that we sang in the church where I was saved, you know, morning by morning, new mercies, and so on. And it was just a hymn, traditional hymn we sang, but one of those songs I learned when I was first saved and loved it. And when I discovered that it was from the Word, I didn't know where it came from. I just thought it was a hymn. And then when I discovered it was in the middle of Lamentations, are you kidding me? In the middle of one of the most painful books in the Bible, as the prophet is lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of his people. And yet in the midst of all of the pain, hope rises. I want to come back to Lamentations 3, and I want to talk to you today on the Line of Fire about the new things that God does, the God who makes all things new. We're going to look at the scripture about new life in him and new hope and new promise. It's just who he is. It's his nature to be creating and making things new and revitalizing and reviving. Let's start 2013 with faith and hope and the God who makes all things new.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, the special New Year's Day broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Again, those just tuning in, I wish you a blessed New Year in the Lord. May He fulfill His promises to you as you seek Him and trust Him and believe Him. May you experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the year 2013. And please lift up a prayer for me, for grace on this travel to Hong Kong. It's, I don't know, from leaving my house to getting to the hotel, probably between 25 and 30 hours, something like that, and then a 13-hour time difference when we get there, and then plan to broadcast live from Hong Kong and do other broadcasts from Hong Kong in the midst of days teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland, teaching the book of Jeremiah. So my last trip to India, I was just so carried and strengthened by the Lord and blessed, and time over there experienced almost no jet lag at all. You know, a little tired here and there, but just strengthened. So really appreciate your praying and standing with me as I travel. Book of Lamentations. It's a painful book to read. Over 20 years ago, I preached a message on the wrath of God that I was so gripped by. I've preached on that theme at other times, but I was so heavily gripped as I preached on it. And I talked about the reality of coming judgment and how we really don't believe it. We talk about it, but don't believe it. And I said, if you want to change your perspective, and I'd never done this myself, but I put it out as something I thought would really be impacting and that I was going to seek to do myself. And I said, read the book of Lamentations every day for a month. And I had read it and meditated on it, but not on that level. I said, read the book of Lamentations every day for a month, and it'll change your thinking. And there's one godly woman in our congregation. She was in her 60s at that point, a retired biologist, very strong pro-life activist, and she came to me partway through the month and said, I couldn't anymore. I couldn't read it. I couldn't read it every day. It's just too overwhelming. That's the kind of book that it is. And I'm going to give you very good news, but I want you to hear the context leading up to this, all right? I'm reading in Lamentations, the third chapter, talking about how God brought horrific judgment on the people of Jerusalem, and now it's personified on me. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I was just sharing the last segment when, as a new believer, I discovered that those words from the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and how God's mercies are new every morning, that they came from Lamentations. I mean, if you didn't know it, would you have ever picked that book? If you didn't know, if you knew the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord God, my Father, and this constant hope in God no matter what, and his faithfulness through the generations, and new every morning. So no matter what hell you experienced yesterday and last night, the mercies of God, new in the morning. If I said, okay, that's taken from the Bible, where is it taken from? Well, maybe the Psalms or a prophetic promise here, but Lamentations? I never would have guessed Lamentations. And yet, in the midst of a book filled with such pain, the poet, the prophet says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I'll wait for him. Let me read this again. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new in 2013. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. There he brings grief, he'll show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men, to crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a man of justice. Would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak it having happened if the Lord has not decreed it? It is not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come. And he's saying, hey, we've been in the midst of the calamities, and we recognize them as judgments from God because of our sin. That's what the people of Judah confess in light of the destruction of Jerusalem 2,600 years ago. And yet they say, also good comes from the Lord. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Can I encourage you to make that part of the foundation of your spiritual life in 2013? To be something that's just written on your soul and that you keep ever before you? The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. To confess those words, look, you're not denying the reality of a situation. You're not saying that your body is not hurting if it's hurting. You're not saying that you're in a financial crisis if you're not in a financial crisis. You're saying you're not in a financial crisis if you are. You're not sticking your head in the sand. Instead, you are speaking a far more important and determining reality, namely that God's faithfulness is great and that his mercies are new every morning. You're saying, yes, this is a problem, this is bad, this is rough, yeah, my church went through a split, yeah, this is happening, yeah, I messed up, I blew it, I sinned, I'm paying the price for it. Could be, and yet, Lord, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. He has never forsaken his people who have cried out to him. Yes, sometimes it has to be protracted. Sometimes it's day and night, and it seems the answer will never come. And you wake up expecting a breakthrough, and the breakthrough isn't there. And you go to sleep expecting a breakthrough, and the breakthrough isn't there. Nonetheless, determine that this will be the confession from your lips. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. I repeat, we serve a God who makes all things new. I'm just looking at the scripture of some of the things that are promised, some of the things that are spoken. The psalmist in Psalm 40, boy, a terrible rut he's in. Listen to what the psalmist says here. There's so many wonderful psalms. This is another one of the wonderful psalms. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And throughout the Psalms, Psalm 96, 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 98, 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 144, 9, I'll sing a new song to you. Psalm 149, 1, sing to the Lord a new song. We can sing new songs to the Lord because his mercies are new every morning. We can sing new songs to the Lord because he takes us out of the miry pit and he puts our feet on firm ground and he puts a new song in our mouths. Your attitude of praise towards God should not ultimately be affected by circumstances, because his goodness remains constant. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what challenges and obstacles, if you'll determine, instead of focusing on those, to focus on God. As some have said, instead of seeing God through your problems, see your problems through God. And determine in your heart, I will declare his faithfulness. I will declare his faithfulness. I will declare his faithfulness. You make that determination. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. Friend, if you'll do that, you will see amazing changes take place in your life. The whole spiritual atmosphere around you will be changed, and you'll be amazed and astounded to see how God's faithfulness is manifest in this new year, 2013. Will you believe God with me for great and mighty and impossible things? Will you believe God with me for a manifestation of his goodness, making things new in our own lives and ministries that will shock us and amaze us?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to this first broadcast of the new year here on the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today because at this moment, as you listen, I am in flight. If everything is on schedule, that means I'm in flight on my way to Hong Kong for over a week of teaching and training Chinese pastors from the mainland. I'll be teaching the book of Jeremiah and really praying that God would impact their lives through the teaching as they go back to mainland China. And I'm praying that I'll be impacted by being with them. And I'm praying that all of you will be impacted as I broadcast live from Hong Kong. What a privilege to get to be on the air with you in the last 6 months or really a four-month period, live from Israel, live from India, and live from Hong Kong. And I'm able to share what's happening there with you live. I mean, it's special to me. I hope and pray it ministers to you as well. And I do appreciate your praying. I know so many of you do pray, and it means so much to me. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing with us through 2012 and allowing us to have, or helping us to have, a really incredibly blessed year of ministry. So it's the new year. And the question is, what's going to make this year any different than the year before? If there are areas where you want to see change, if there are areas where you want to see growth, if there are areas where you know this is not right or there must be more, what's going to make 1 year different? You know, maybe when you're younger, you kind of think, all right, well, when I turn 20, things are going to be different. Or when I get married, things are going to be different. When I have my first child, things are going to be different. When I graduate college, when I have my first job, when I preach for the first time, or whatever it is. And basically, life just goes on. You know, from one day to the next and 1 year to the next, life just goes on. And unless we make a change in the Lord, then nothing is going to change around us. Martin Luther King expressed this concern in his famous letter from a Birmingham jail. He went to jail, getting involved in protest movements in Alabama, and there were several clergy that took out a joint ad in a newspaper where they together differed with his policy and approach. And he said what concerned him most was not the radicals that were so hostile, you know, the KKK type of people, but the white moderates that were sympathetic to the cause. I don't remember if he included blacks that were with him, but not fully with him. But I remember him speaking about the white moderates who said, yeah, we agree with your cause. We agree with what you're doing, but these things take time, sir. In other words, you just have to be patient and wait and wait, and eventually change will come. And King responded by saying, no, the passage of time doesn't change anything. The only thing that changes is things get older and things get worn out. But the passage of time in itself doesn't bring about change. The passage of time in itself doesn't bring about an end to injustice. The passage of time in itself doesn't bring about social equality. The passage of time in itself doesn't bring about spiritual growth or spiritual breakthroughs. Even if God has given promises, many of those promises must be watered like seeds planted in the ground. And many times we need to go back to God and say, but God, you promised, and hold him to his promises and remind him of his promises. And that's part of the process of seeing the promises fulfilled and coming to pass. It's a new year. What does it mean in terms of spiritual change? In and of itself, nothing. It's and you could follow the biblical calendar or the American calendar. It's the same thing. The passage of time in and of itself does not bring about change. I've probably shared this one or two times on the air before, but I've been to Italy many, many different times to minister. Some of the people got to know me. I used to go every year for a while, and they'd be in meetings with me. And then it had been a number of years since I had been to Italy, but in particular, a number of years since I had been to one particular area. And someone hadn't seen me in years, and my hair had gotten gray, and I'd put on a few pounds. One Italian sister comes up to me, and she hadn't seen me. She goes, "Oh, what happened to you? You got old and fat." God bless our sister for her forthright speech. And no, I didn't return what she said with a clever comment. Like, well, what happened to you, lady? The fact is, that's the only thing that's going to change with the passage of time. You're going to get gray. Your body's going to wear out. Your possessions are going to get old. That's the only thing. Change is not going to happen just because the year changes. We must be determined that if there's something important, if there's something we want from God, that we can't let another year go by without seeing that change come. I just was looking at notes from a board meeting, our ministry board. Our meeting was a few weeks ago, and I wanted to give the board some updates and some words of encouragement about open doors that God had set before me and fruit we were seeing in this way and this way and this way. And I was genuinely encouraged by it and sharing these words of encouragement with the board members. And then when I looked at the minutes from the previous year, I had shared almost the identical things the year before. Oh yeah, they've expanded, they've grown, they've increased. But what I thought was this great new report this year was the same report from last year. Friends, we can be impressed by the activity of a merry-go-round. And look at, listen to the music and listen to the sounds and look at the action and the horses going up and down and everything turning around us. But we're just going around in circles. Don't live 2013 like that if you live 2012 like that. And yeah, the good report may be the same as last year. Steady growth, steady progress on all fronts, family going after the Lord, healthy, strong, committed to the Lord, church, ministry, whatever it is, going well. It doesn't have to be something radically new all the time, but if you recognize you're not making progress, you're not growing, you're no closer to seeing God's promises fulfilled today than you were a year ago or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, make a determination. I serve a God who makes everything new. I'm going to take hold of one thing I know I can do, and I'm going to give myself to it. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to be faithful in it. And who knows, but that being faithful in that one area, things may change radically. Someone said this: find out what God would have you do, and do that little well. For what is great and what is small, 'tis only God can tell. Friends, I want to encourage you through this week and later in the week. Come your way live from Hong Kong. We are giving our phone operators a day off, a rest today. But if you want to stand with us, if you believe in the work we're doing, if you want to sow a financial seed to start the new year and say, hey, I want to stand with you, Mike. I want to support what you're doing. Hold your hands up. Right now, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org and click on support, and you can stand with us with your donation. Here's my bottom line today. We start a new year serving a God who makes all things new. Determine that you will not repeat the errors of the past, but will walk in newness of life and see what our God will do anew for you.